Rebels leave southern Russian town after Moscow halts Chechen fighting. Bosnian Serb headquarters town shelled for third day after last UN hostages freed. President Clinton apologizes to gays over glove incident. Good Monday morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The bloody six-day hostage crisis in southern Russia is over as buses carrying Chechen rebels rolled out of town. They left behind hundreds of newly freed hostages. Bill Gasparini has more from Moscow.
There were many emotional scenes in the town of Budyanovsk as the hostages came pouring out of the hospital in which they'd been held. Townspeople outside frantically searched through the crowd to find relatives and friends. The hostages emerged from the building shortly after their former captors left in a convoy of buses. The Chechen gunmen were accompanied by over 100 local officials and journalists. They'd apparently volunteered to go with them as insurance against any attack by Russian forces. It's still not clear just where the convoy is headed, although its final destination is believed to be somewhere in the Chechen Republic. In Chechnya itself, new peace talks are underway in the capital city, Grozny. The talks are part of the agreement reached yesterday between Russia's prime minister and the rebel leader, which led to the hostage release. Bill Gasparini for CBS News, Moscow.
Also in Moscow, Russian scholar and CBS News consultant Stephen Cohen says this is not the end.
The human crisis may be over, though there could still be violence. Now the political crisis begins, and it will deepen in the days ahead.
Cohen says the crisis has left the Russian public fed up with President Yeltsin.
The reaction has been tremendous disgust, and disgust particularly in President Yeltsin, partly because he couldn't stop this from happening, partly because he left the country when it did happen, partly because some of the statements he made when he left and when he returned. So Yeltsin has been the biggest political victim. Prime Minister Chernomyrdin may be a beneficiary. He's trying to take charge. But there's so many unpredictable factors, he too could become a victim, a political victim.
Stephen Cohen in Moscow. In Bosnia, after the Serbs freed the last of the UN peacekeepers they held hostage, their headquarters town of Pale was shelled for a third day. No casualties reported. As correspondent Alan Pizzi reports, it's generally quiet around Sarajevo.
The Bosnian government offensive appears to have slowed down. The UN reported that government forces have not managed to maintain the break they made in the Bosnian Serb supply line around Sarajevo. But the Bosnian Serbs continue to cut water to the city. Yesterday, seven people died when a single Bosnian Serb shell hit a water line in the frontline suburb of Dobrinje. The UN condemned it as an act of senseless violence and barbarity. Water has now been cut for more than 3 weeks. The senior UN civil affairs official charged with getting it started again sees the issue in terms of technicalities. Phil Corwin put it this way.
There's no problem yet. I just gave to each side, I mean, they're not on, you know, but I gave to each side a proposal on how to turn them on, and I'm waiting for their response.
The only bright spot for the UN was the release of peacekeepers held hostage by the Bosnian Serbs. The UN denies a deal was made, but four Bosnian Serb prisoners whose status had been under review, as the UN put it, were handed back at the same time. UN officials here said people could draw their own conclusions from that. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Sarajevo.
Australia's parliament has condemned renewed French nuclear testing in the South Pacific, but that vote was preceded by hours of bitter partisan squabbling over the wording. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jim Bolger also denounced the French decision, saying he's afraid it will lead to resumption of underground testing by what he called the U.S. military machine. Vietnam's President Le Duc An plans to visit the United States in October, the most senior Hanoi official to do so since the Vietnam War. An will attend ceremonies marking the 50th anniversary of the United Nations. Yesterday, U.S. investigators came up empty-handed when they visited a remote Vietnamese village where refugees had claimed hundreds of American POWs were held in a mountain prison. The mountain turned out to be a rice paddy. President Clinton has sent a letter to 50 gay elected officials apologizing for the behavior of uniformed Secret Service officers who last week wore rubber gloves while admitting them to a White House meeting. It was wrong, wrote the president. That satisfied San Francisco supervisor Tom Amiano.
If something positive can come out of this, great. The apology is fitting, but now we want to see more proof in the pudding showing us that the apology was a real apology, not just a knee-jerk reaction.
Mr. Clinton said the meeting had been productive and he looked forward to working with the gay leaders in the future. The O.J. Simpson trial enters its 22nd week with more tales of past spousal abuse. Correspondent David Dow is covering.
Aiming toward a wrap-up of their case against O.J. Simpson by month's end, prosecutors are expected to return today to an early theme, that O.J. Simpson killed his ex-wife as an eruptive outgrowth of a long pattern of domestic violence. a limousine driver who allegedly saw Simpson hit Nicole Brown Simpson during a ride home in the late 1980s, will take the stand. CBS News legal consultant Victor Gold sees it as a final effort to tarnish Simpson before the defense begins polishing his image.
Before they hear that, the prosecution wants the jury to be reminded of the bad things in O.J. Simpson's life.
Also expected to testify, a man who claims to have seen Simpson strike his wife at a beach in 1987. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Another troubled athlete, former Dodger and Met outfielder Darryl Strawberry, has signed with the New York Yankees. The 418-foot steamboat American Queen remains aground on an Ohio River sandbar 130 miles downstream from Louisville. Lock and dam operator Terry Greathouse says the river level is down and the task now is to lighten the biggest steamboat ever built.
We're in the process of bringing a barge in to offload some water and fuel to lighten it to see if that'll help.
The American Queen is on its maiden voyage with 285 VIP guests. The Caribbean cruise ship Celebration remains adrift this morning with 2,400 people aboard after an electrical fire disabled the ship's navigation system. Another Carnival cruise ship is scheduled to arrive tomorrow to retrieve the stranded passengers. At least 16 people were killed when a kitchen gas canister exploded at a highway rest stop in eastern Belgium. This British truck driver saw it happen.
Terrible. The people were hanging on the girders on the top. But the problem is we know some of the people that are in there.
Colleagues
from the truck drivers are in there and tourists, and there was no small explosions. It was just one big one.
A 35-year-old man faces drunken driving charges after a fiery car crash killed 8 people overnight on a freeway in Riverside County, California. 15 months after surgeons replaced her left hip, actress Elizabeth Taylor today undergoes a similar operation to replace her arthritic right hip. She's 63. After months of delay, IBM today unveils a new line of personal computers. It's called the Power Series, and it's built around the Power PC chip it developed with Apple Computer and Motorola. Boeing has finally gotten its long-awaited order from Saudi Arabian Airlines for 23 of the new Boeing 777 twin jets and 5 747 jumbo jets. The deal is worth over $5 billion. The International Committee of the Red Cross is closing down its office in Rangoon because it was denied proper access to Burmese political prisoners. In Geneva, ICRC spokesman Yong Stocklin.
It didn't accept the three main conditions for the ICRC to visit, mainly to get access to all the detainees, security detainees concerned. Second, to be allowed to talk in private with each of them. And third, to be allowed to renew the visit, which is, of course, the only way to follow up the condition of detention.
Human rights groups estimate there are several hundred political prisoners in Burma, including 1991 Nobel Peace Prize winner Aung San Suu Kyi, who turned 50 years old today. The dollar is lower in overseas trading. London gold is up 70 cents at $390.50 an ounce. And on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead nearly 19 points. It's 10 past the hour.